I'm Rex Latchford in New York with another Day Page. Here's some of what's happening on this day. The computer hacker Jeremy Hammond has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for hacking into the computers of the private intelligence firm Stratfor. Hammond has admitted to being a member of the group Anonymous and to stealing files from Stratfor, as well as other government and corporate sites. Some 5 million Stratfor emails winded up in the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks, showing how the firm monitors activists and spies for corporate clients. Hammond pleaded guilty earlier this year in part to avoid a longer sentence of at least 30 years in prison. He's already spent 18 months behind bars, some of it in solitary confinement. On Friday, Hammond attorney Sarah Kunstler said Hammond's sentencing judge had overlooked his political motivations.
We fought the good fight. We talked about Jeremy's motivations and why he did what he did. We talked about the life that he led. And unfortunately, we were unable to persuade the judge to give him less than the maximum in this case, which was 10 years.
We have been in front of this judge on a number of appearances, and we have not found her to be particularly sympathetic to Jeremy. We don't think that she has the beginning of an understanding of the hacker movement. And she certainly doesn't have an understanding of the vocabulary used in chat rooms and by hacktivists online. It's a very overstated vocabulary, and they use the word kill. They don't mean kill. They use the word havoc. They use the word mayhem. It's the way they talk, and she used that against him to deny any social value to the actual work he did and really just used his words against him.
The words the judge used a lot and that the government used a lot in their sentencing submission were maximum mayhem. And the government and the judge felt that the idea of causing mayhem or causing destruction was incompatible with Jeremy's stated political goals. And we disagree with that. Advocating for political change, struggling for political change, involves being disruptive at times. It involves being destructive at times. These are sometimes the only pathways to change.
The key to this case is that we see that there is no willingness by judges to distinguish between acts of hacking for civil disobedience or political purposes and acts of hacking that are malicious.
The thing that bothers me also in this case is the discrepancy in the sentencing. One of the things that was said by Aaron Schwartz's father at his funeral was that the crime that Aaron or people like Jeremy, who got no financial gain, they're getting 10 years, whereas other titans of the tech industry who abused public property, taking government, you know, lists of students at universities, these people, these titans of tech industry, they are celebrated by our society. Why the discrepancy? No charges against these people, yet 10 years for Jeremy. This is an unacceptable outcome for the tech sector, and I say shame on the rest of the tech sector for not coming to Jeremy's defense.
Those clips were from attorney Sarah Kunstler's press conference held after the Hammond verdict. Hammond's 10-year sentence is one of the longest ever in a criminal hacking case. During his sentencing, Hammond said an FBI informant had directed him to hack into the websites of several foreign governments, including Brazil, Iran, and Turkey. According to Hammond, the FBI used him and other hackers to disrupt vulnerabilities in the homepages of foreign states. We'll have more on spying and hacking in a moment, but in Japan, a dangerous operation is underway at the earthquake-stricken Fukushima nuclear plant. Engineers are removing more than 1,500 radioactive fuel rods from a storage pool as part of the plant's decommissioning. The rods could release toxic gases if they break or are exposed to air. Some of the tasks underway as a part of Fukushima's decommissioning have never been attempted before anywhere else. The work is expected to take up to a year. Protests were held in more than 260 cities worldwide on Saturday to mark 2 months since the detention of the Greenpeace Arctic 30 for protesting gas drilling by Russia. The 28 activists and two journalists are facing charges of hooliganism, which carry up to 7 years in prison. Saturday's rallies are focused on urging Russia's state-controlled oil company, Gazprom, and its partner Shell, to back calls for the Arctic 30's release. The The Supreme Court on Monday turned away an unusual challenge to a National Security Agency program that collects telephone records of millions of Americans, as congressional critics of the data collection stepped up efforts to force more disclosure about the scope of the surveillance. The intensifying efforts to gain transparency and put restraints on the NSA on both the legal and legislative fronts is running into stiff resistance from congressional leaders of both parties, as well as the Obama administration. This puts the administration and the legislature at direct odds with growing public sentiments. Once again, government of, by, and for the government. Epic filed this last challenge directly with the Supreme Court, arguing that the FISA court had exceeded its jurisdiction when it ordered the bulk collection of phone records. In urging the Supremes to throw out the case, the federal government said the proper way to mount a challenge is to file in federal district court, exactly where the administration could firmly put down such a challenge on its own. John Boehner wants to quash any efforts to address the NSA excess during the legislative session, and Harry Reid is afraid of harming national security. That's national security as in the federal government's security, no doubt. Meanwhile, Angela Merkel is once again speaking out against the NSA spying and bugging, referring to NSA documents released by Edward Snowden as accusations rather than fact unchallenged by the NSA. The German government wants Snowden's testimony, but won't offer asylum until he applies while on German soil. That would be tricky, as the U.S. would most certainly try to snatch him if he were to travel there. Indonesia has recalled its ambassador to Australia, a U.S. spy pal that the NSA's documents show was spying on the Indonesian leader. The latest leaked NSA documents named the Indonesian president, his first lady, and the vice president, as well as several senior ministers, as targets of snooping, spying, and monitoring. And that's just about enough for this DayPage. You can collect them all at daypage.net, a production of Radio InfoWeb, and heard on the Liberty Radio Network. Join us again next time for another DayPage.